As I anticipated what we would share this morning, what we would consider from the Word, I thought that it might be a beneficial plan to find a quote on raising children, some sort of something that will catch our minds. And yet as I was looking into quotes on Google and on different places, all of the inspirational quotes about raising children communicated effectively the exact opposite things than I wanted to communicate from Scripture this morning. The closest I could find is what was claimed as a quote that says, quote, "We all want the best for our children," end quote. To me, that doesn't feel like a quote. That's a statement that everybody makes at one time or another. I don't know who got together and said, yeah, let's put this guy's name behind that. That's fine. They didn't ask me. I'm not a parent. Amy and I do not have any children yet. God will bless us with that sometime in the future. And so you may think, why is Pastor Caleb talking to me about parenting? Is he not disqualified because he has no children yet? Certainly, I will learn more in the trenches of raising children, whenever that may be. But the Bible's principles about child raising and about anything else are true whether they are coming from the mouth of a six-year-old boy or from the mouth of someone who has 80 grandchildren. The principles are true regardless. The world offers a million different options for what is best for raising children. What is the best plan for them as they continue to grow up? From Scripture, I believe that there are multiple specifics that we each come into contact with, but there are generalities that will be true for us regardless of the specific context. This is the month of May, nearly two-thirds of the way done. May is a month to reflect on what it means to grow up. May is the month when school lets out. Whatever grade your child is in, school is nearly done. Your preteens and your teenagers may be thinking about the first job that they are going to get as a mark of their growing up. Indeed, we are going to celebrate here in a few weeks the 8th grade graduation tomorrow and the next day, or the preschool graduation. High school graduation is in a couple of weeks. We celebrate this, and they all cause us to reflect on what does it mean to grow up, what is best. As adults, we think about our children, our grandchildren, and as youth, we think about our futures, what is best for our futures. Graduating seniors look at all the different options. I could go to school, I could go into the military, I could get a job, whatever these things, what is best for me? Parents may be thinking, okay, I'm going to be an empty nester here sometime soon. What is best for my children as they are no longer under my roof? Grandparents may think, what is best for me as a grandparent to continue to minister to my grandchildren? What is best? You have an outline in your bulletin today, a bit of a peculiarly organized outline, but I'm going to give you an audacious set of information today, and that is the first blanks, what's best for your children? Then I have a colon. Oh, wow, Pastor Caleb, you're going to tell me what's best for my children? Don't worry, it's not as presumptuous as you might think. I'll give you two different sides. On the left side, we're going to go for things that may not be best, and on the right side, we're going to go for things that will be best. The first that I want us to consider is that burning brightly for a season may not be best for your kids. Burning brightly for a season may not be best for your kids. I am the Awana commander. I started back in 2012. They don't let anybody just wear this ridiculously attractive shade of yellow. The commander is in charge of the Awana club. It's all of it is submissive to church leadership, but in the structure of Awana, commander's in charge. I've seen a number of people go through my club. There are a handful of examples that stand out to me as very brightly burning folks. There was one who made the way through the Awana curriculum, completed all of the requirements, and indeed stayed around here as a leader for a handful of years, doing an outstanding job of ministering to our boys and girls and of being on fire for the Lord. There was one clubber who came through our doors, and she came in and she did a whole lot of work completing her handbook, and nothing flat, it felt like. And she just burned very brightly. There was another clubber a few years ago whose family was involved in Awana, who had a great heritage of Awana, and went through and completed all the requirements and graduated, got his citation award also. As parents, as grandparents, we tend to want our kids to be able to be in the spotlight. This is a natural thing, something that we all say, oh yeah, that's fair. You put a bumper sticker on the back of your car, my child was an honor student at Smart Kid University, whatever it is. We're familiar with those bumper stickers. Indeed, in the days of Instagram, it is a familiar thing for us to slap something up on the internet to say, look at what my child did. There's nothing inherently wrong with this. Indeed, I think that we should, as parents, celebrate the work and skill of our children, as long as we're not bragging or being a general nuisance. I can't tell you. You have to pray about that one. The problem is when we prioritize this bright burning season, when we prioritize the right now as the most important for our children. These three examples from Awana, the person who graduated with a citation award, was a leader for a handful of years, now is living a life completely in opposition to the Lord, and indeed claims that she didn't ever believe any of this stuff anyway. The clubber who came in and whizzed the way through the book, haven't seen that family in months. The clubber who grew up in Awana, earned the citation award, got all the bells and whistles taken care of, he is recovering now from years of bad decisions that plagued him after he grew out of Awana. We have these examples of those who burn brightly for a season only to burn out. This is not just true in Awana, this is true in other things also. I've heard many stories about children who particularly excel in or love an activity, a sport, and by the time they get to high school or they get to college age, they have completely different interests. The parents prioritize the bright burning for a season, and now the interests have changed. We as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents, should support and foster our children's interests, but it is the responsibility to plan for what things will look like in 20 or 30 years down the line. Burning brightly for a season might not be best for your kids, but I can tell you that it is best for your children to stick with the Lord for the long haul. It is best for your children to stick with the Lord for the long haul. It continues to somewhat shock me when I interact with parents whose children are wandering away from the Lord and say, "But Pastor Caleb, I was in church at least two Sundays a month." I think, well, good. But are you really wondering why your children are wandering away when that was not the priority? When that was not the key priority? You are instead focusing on these bright burning seasons. You are so concerned with the current needs of their lives that you forgot about the long haul. I would far rather clubbers come through our doors and spend a year struggling their way through eight sections than a clubber come in and burn through a book in 2 weeks. The best for our children is not a season of blazing, but a long-term production of spiritual fruit. We're familiar with the parable of the seeds in Matthew chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, I'm going to read. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. God gives the growth. We do not get to determine what our children are going to do. Indeed, we can do the best that we can, and they will still turn out in opposition to the Lord. But parents are responsible for making sure that the soil is cultivated. Ephesians 6 says that we're not supposed to exasperate our children, but Scripture makes it very clear that God wants lives of obedience. A familiar passage of Scripture to us, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I don't speak Hebrew, but I've always pronounced it the Shema. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So much of the time, I see parents ordering the lives of their families around the current interests of their children, rather than recognizing that the current interests of their children are to be fostered so that they can serve the Lord for the long haul. So many families are run, their schedules are run by what the child thinks is best. Children are in charge. Carry this to its logical conclusion for me, if you would, please. If your children get to determine what is best for them and what is best for their families, all of their teeth would have fallen out long ago. They would have no energy because they never get any sleep. And they would be, I think the appropriate word is, hellions at home and at school. Children do not get to determine what is best. And indeed, if you think, well, that's kind of the way things go, that's not accurate. Every parent who has children living at home, grandparent who has grandchildren they're taking care of, you determine the way that they spend their days. You may say, well, they want to do this, they want to do this. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You're the one who makes that call. What your days are filled with. Brothers and sisters, please don't settle for snippets of spiritual commitment when God wants your kids to stick with them for the long haul. Another thought. Awana might not be best for your kids. Awana might not be best for your kids. I started in Awana when I was in second grade. I was in Awana from second grade up through high school, a couple years of break over at college, but I have been with Awana, I believe, aggregate about 20 years of my 28 years. I love the program. I would very strongly recommend it to your families, but I want us to recognize it's not the only option. It is not a sin to skip Awana on Wednesday nights. If you do not use your Wednesday evenings to worship the Lord here at TCC campus, that's fine. It's not a sin. Indeed, Awana is not a perfect program. Awana HQ, it feels like, changes their curriculum every other Wednesday. And just as soon as we get one curriculum figured out, there's another one that we have to try to deal with. It's a frustration for me as commander. I don't love all of their changes. It is not a foolproof plan. If you saw the bulletin and say, oh great, now is the day that I get to feel guilty for not having my grandkids in Awana. Don't. God may be trying to prick your conscience, but that would be elsewhere. Awana does not need to be the thing that you're feeling guilty about. There are no verses in Scripture about wearing brightly colored polos, red vests, or little jewels on your breast pocket. Maybe Awana is not for you, and that's fine. There's no problem there. Awana might not be best for your kids, but I will tell you that it is best for your children to be spiritually disciplined. It is best for your children to be spiritually disciplined. And this is what we really try to do each Wednesday. It is a robust system of incorporating spiritual disciplines into your children's lives. God is not going to judge you if you don't know the difference between a bear hug and a meritorious award. He is not going to be irritated at you if you don't know what TNT stands for. It doesn't stand for tacos and tamales, despite the fact that was a joke in one of the entrance exams a few years ago. Awana's point is to share the good news and then to train boys and girls to serve Jesus. We say that in our pledge every week, and that is our pledge as leaders. A pledge as a church is to make sure that boys and girls have this system wired into their weeks to be spiritually disciplined and to serve the Lord. Awana seeks to partner with families to encourage the discipline, instruction of the Lord, as it speaks of in Ephesians. If we see verses in Scripture, we should always be careful to immediately chalk them up to cultural distinctives. I would like you to consider that the Bible says nothing about making sure that your child has good playmates. The Bible says nothing about making sure that your child is involved in plenty of extracurricular activities. There is no verse in Scripture that says that you need to make sure that all of your child's interests are fostered throughout his or her lives. The Bible does not speak of making sure that your children are happy with themselves. Now hear me. It's good for your children to not hang around with jerks. It's good for them to have opportunities to use the minds that God has given them in the extracurriculars. It's good for you to foster their interests. It's good for them to recognize their value in the Lord. Those are all fine, but the Bible does not instruct parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, anyone who takes care of children to do that. The Bible instead instructs all of us to make sure that we are shaping our children into worshipers of the King. That is the priority. Everything else falls far below that. We just read Deuteronomy chapter 6. There's another passage a few chapters later that says largely the same thing. Deuteronomy 11 verses 18 through 21. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. In my mind, one of Satan's most insidious ideas in our culture and in other cultures right now is that it is best for you to let your children choose what they want to do with their lives. Now, there's a kernel of truth in that, in terms of their career paths and that sort of thing. By all means, let them choose their interests. That's a good thing. The major problem with that is that this idea of, well, just let your children choose what's best for them, has divorced in our minds the idea of raising them spiritually from raising them physically. I would say, in terms of what Scripture has to say, the spiritual discipline of your children is just as important, if not more important, than making sure they eat their vegetables and get enough sleep. If your preteen son comes home smelling so foul that the neighbors call you to say, "Hey, can you please make sure that he cleans himself?" it is not forcing or bullying or rude for you to tell your boy, "Get in the shower." That's right for you to do that for your son. It is a service to him, a service to everybody else, certainly. If your daughter's room is so full of clothes that you can't open the door all the way, it is not rude or forcing or cruel to force them to force her to clean her room. It's a right thing to do. Why in the world then are we hesitant as Christian parents to make our children memorize verses? To work with them on a regular basis to imprint on their minds that there are 66 books of divinely inspired Scripture that are useful for them. "Pastor Caleb, I don't want to push any of my children away from church." Consider, that's a good sentiment. But when you are raising your toddlers and you are working with them on potty training, how many of y'all were thinking, "Man, I don't want my 20-year-old child to rebel against me and go back to wearing diapers"? We don't think that way. When it is time to train them in potty training, it says, "This is time for you to do this. You need to grow up." As we raise our children, it is altogether right and holy and wholesome for us to impress upon them the need for spiritual disciplines. We do not control their growth. That is only reliant upon God's grace. But according to what Deuteronomy says, every tiny little thing in our children's lives are to push them toward the Bible. We, as their parents, as their guardians, are supposed to push them toward an increasingly grand picture of God's goodness and of God's worthiness to be worshipped. What is best for your children? It is best for your children to be doing some form of Bible study. Awana offers a great curriculum. It doesn't have to be Awana. They need to be studying the Bible. It is best for your children for you to be actively shaping their worldviews so that everything they see, everything with which they come into contact, is flavored by and is seen through the grid of "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures," 1 Corinthians 15. We require of our boys and girls as they grow up that they know how to speak, that they know how to add and subtract, and that they know a general idea of how the world works. Should it not then be just as important for us to make sure that they read their Bibles regularly? That they come to us with weird passages and say, "Hey, I don't know what's going on." And then we say, "Sweet, I don't know either. Let's look it up." That we urge them to memorize the promises of a heavenly Father that loves them more than they will ever be able to comprehend. Is this not best for your children? And I wonder, why do we not do this? Perhaps it is because we are not spiritually disciplined enough ourselves. Brothers and sisters, when's the last time you memorized a verse? When's the last time you memorized 7 verses? Or 425, Kyler and Samantha? When's the last time you put some very deliberate time into studying Scripture? As you look at your weeks, how much time do you devote to studying the Bible? Are you more disciplined to drawing closer to the Lord or to making sure that you don't miss the latest episode of your favorite TV show? Awana may not be best for your kids, but it is best for your children to be spiritually disciplined. Thirdly, Pahrump Community Church may not be best for your kids. Pahrump Community Church might not be best for your kids. Let me say this. I think it is. Pahrump Community Church is a wonderful church. I'm so blessed to be a part of it here. I'm so thankful for what the Lord does here. It is a place of growth. It is a place of friendliness. It is a place that God uses. I pray that there are younger children, younger families that continue to come to PCC so that we can grow. I'm thankful for the Sunday school program that we offer every Sunday, 9:30 to 10:15, 10:30. I'm thankful for our youth group on Thursday evenings. I'm thankful for our Awana Club on Wednesday nights. There are so many things here that are a great blessing. But I cannot say that with 100% certainty that it is best for your child to stay in PCC for all his or her life. For one thing, if your child decides to move to Georgia to go to college, it'd be a mighty awkward commute each Sunday to come back here and to be a part of Pahrump Community Church. I mean, you could pull it off if you're made of money, but that's probably not going to work. The goal is to fit best someplace. If your child or your grandchildren are moving on in their lives and you no longer have a direct line into determining how they spend their days, I would urge you to start praying now that God would prepare a church family for your child that is best for him or her. I've noticed that many clubbers, many youth from our church grow up, when they move away, if I continue to talk to them, I ask them where they're going to church, they will tell me something like, well, yeah, it's kind of like from community church, which is typically their way of saying, this church is okay. They use PCC as an example, and I'm so thankful for that. But wherever your child ends up worshiping, it is best for your children to be growing and fellowshipping. Your last blanks here. It is best for your children to be growing and fellowshipping. As you look at your children's lives, grown children, perhaps grown grandchildren live elsewhere, you may not love the church that they have chosen, but you can rest assured it is best for them if these two things are true. Please keep in mind that you as a parent, a grandparent, great-grandparent, a guardian, you have no power to produce spiritual growth in these children. That is up to God and God alone. At the same time, you have an opportunity and a responsibility to model the importance of growing and fellowshipping to your boys and girls. Mark 20, 30 and 31 are familiar verses. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, Jesus says. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The best church for your child is a church that is pushing him or her to love God. It is a church that is firmly rooted in the Bible. From Community Church is firmly rooted in the Bible, so are a lot of other churches. If your church, if your child's church is actively preaching Scripture as Scripture presents itself and isn't spinning it, praise the Lord. Encourage your child to go to that church. If your child is growing in his love for the Bible, in her love for her Savior, that's awesome. You can rest assured that's best. The best churches foster growth. The best churches also foster fellowship. Now, this is a word we don't use super often here. It's not one of our buzzwords that we continue to push. It is in our oasis, I believe. Fellowship, however, is not simply visiting with one another or shaking each other's hands or hugging each other. Fellowship is not simply eating together when we have our fellowship dinners every once in a while. Fellowship goes deeper than that. Fellowship is an opportunity to obey the one another commands in Scripture. Fellowship means being open enough with other believers that you can let them into your lives, that they can pray for you, you can pray for them, and that you can push one another on to growth, you can stir one another on toward love and good deeds, Hebrews 10. Some folks find deeper God-honoring relationships in very small churches. Others prefer larger churches so they have more opportunities to find folks with whom they can have deeper God-honoring relationships. It should be obvious here that it is best for your children for them to see you regularly in church, to prioritize the fellowship of the saints above the other priorities that may fill up your days. It is best for your kids for them to see you growing and fellowshipping. In my mind, it is best for your kids to say, Mom, Dad, why are we going to church when this other thing is going on? And you to be able to say, because this is important to me. Because this is important to God, to spend time with the saints. It is best for your kids to see you growing and fellowshipping through the grid of Scripture. I would say that in terms of the church that you choose, I would urge you to not let your children choose the church. Because children are prone to choosing a church with all the bells and whistles. That's not a bad thing, but that's not the important thing. Children are prone to choose a church based on whether or not they offer pizza every Thursday night. I'm a big fan of pizza. That's not the best thing. Children choose a church based on whether or not they're a whole lot of one age bracket. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I would say that the healthiest churches are a blend of age groups. Because then you have old folks pouring into the lives of younger folks. And you have younger folks blessing the old folks. That's God's design for his people. And PCC, we try our best. We try our best to be a place of growth, a place of fellowship. It is best for your child to be a part of a church. It is fine for your child to spend much of his time at a rock polishing club. I don't know if these are real. If anybody is part of one, feel no offense from me. It is fine for your child to spend hours and hours each week taking unicycle lessons. If so, please show me. That's a skill I don't have. That's not best. What is best for your children is to spend time regularly, consistently, so much the more as you see the day approaching, with your spiritual family to encourage him and her in his love for God and love for his neighbor. We all want what's best for our kids. The specifics vary, the generalities remain. Whatever personality your daughter has, it is best for her to stick with the Lord for the long haul. Whatever eccentricities your son has, and they may be many, it is best for him to be spiritually disciplined. Whatever interests your family has, it is best for you to be growing and fellowshipping with Christ's body. I try to remind our Awana Clubbers very regularly that Awana is not a command in Scripture. Programs fade. It is the church, the body of Christ, that will be praising God for eternity.